God be the glory. Amen. Praise God for the cross of Calvary and that we get to cling to it and hold on to it, no doubt. All right, I'm going to take a picture of all y'all, so I want y'all to smile if y'all would, okay? All right, I'm going to stand over here and try to get everybody in it. Y'all look at me. Y'all put your best smile on, okay? All right, on the count of three. One, they won't focus. What's up with that? There we go. One, two, three. You know what the scripture says? Most of us don't like getting our picture taken, right? Y'all don't like that idea. But you know what the Bible says in Malachi? That those that feared God and sat around and talked about Him, there was a book of remembrance written in glory. Amen. Tonight's being recorded in glory. On a phone, we can take a picture and it can launch out across the world. And this old phone's going to perish. That old picture's going to eventually fade away and be gone. But what's recorded that happens here tonight will be recorded forever. Amen. To God be the glory and the praise. Brother Jimmy, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of coming and standing in the gap, standing in the pulpit that God has assigned you, brother, to lead this flock. Thank you for the invitation. Thank y'all for taking good care of us, for blessing us all week, for fattening us up and feeding us so well and loving on us and being kind to me and my family. I thank my brother back there for housing us and letting us stay and pushing Sissy out of her room. She ain't been able to get in her room. And me and Aunt Stephanie got stuff everywhere in there. It's a piled mess. You know, we bought half the house with us when we came. But we are sure glad that the Lord seemed fit to have this week for us set aside. And it's been a blessing for me. I pray that it has been and will be a blessing for you as well. And I'm just thankful that we serve a God who always, always follows through. Amen? He's faithful. He's good. He's kind. He's gentle. He's holy. He's loving. He's merciful. And I want to tell you, He always does what He says He's going to do. That's why He says that God shall not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. God tells us way in advance of the benefits, the blessings, and the downfalls of not paying attention to what He says or following through with what He says. He tells us right up front what He's going to do in advance. Amen? And He will not be mocked whatsoever. And we can trust Him and count on Him and rely upon Him in every dynamic of our lives. We can depend on Him. So I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've been looking at this chapter this week. This is the idea of doing church right, part number 5, I believe. Is that where we are? Part number 5 of finishing this out. If we finish it, we do. If not, Brother Jimmy will be able to help you with these things in the coming days if you have any questions. I know that he will be able to do that, and that wouldn't be an issue whatsoever. So we are going to continue on with this thought process. I think we stopped last night in verse number 18 where it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We have looked at the idea, if we're going to do church right, God following through in us, we said that the church must be ready. Amen. Living in the light of the return of Jesus Christ. And as we are ready, with our eyes fixed upon Him, anticipating, looking, working, laboring, praying, doing what He's called us to do, that would mean that we're going to have a concern for the brethren. If we're going to do church right, we need to be concerned for the body of Christ, for each other. We also need to be patient with each other. We need to be protective of one another. We need to be glad-hearted people. That is, we rejoice evermore, and we need to be people who are prayerful and people who are thankful, because God blesses us when we give the sacrifices of thanksgiving unto Him. He uses that. And what we want to do tonight is just briefly look at these last few verses that we have in this passage of Scripture that begins when He says in verse 19, "Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. Just bless you and want to humble ourselves in your sight and give you glory. Thank you for being so gracious and gentle and kind to us. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for coming to us in spite of ourselves. You chose to rescue us. You have chosen to interrupt us. You have chosen to engage and invade us with your grace. You have chosen to place your mercy upon my life. And I can't help but thank you and give you praise and glory. And we ask that you would show favor tonight and here by just magnifying yourself, manifesting your anointing upon our lives to teach and hear and act and do according to your will. And we're going to give you the glory and the praise for the life you impart, for the souls that you save, for the saints that you continue to sanctify. We're going to give you glory. For we love you. I praise you. I thank you. Grant repentance to us tonight. We pray that you unveil your truth. Free us from the snare of the enemy, that we may follow hard after your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture says, quench not the spirit. That is something, if we are going to do church right, we need to be wise. We need to be wise. And wise in light of the fact that being wise means that we have the supernatural ability to know how to take the next step with the Lord and be in harmony with him while we do his work upon the earth. And quenching the spirit has the idea of throwing water upon the flame or the fire that God has kindled in somebody's life. There's a difference between quenching the spirit and grieving the spirit. When we grieve the spirit, that has everything to do with the fruit that God desires to flow out of our lives. When we find ourselves in sin, our eyes are not looking unto the Lord. We're dependent upon ourselves. We're not forgiving one another. We're not forbearing with one another. We're not being kind to one another. We're not being honest and sincere with one another. What happens is we grieve the Spirit of God within us. We grieve the flow of God's fruit out of us because we get disconnected from Jesus. But when it talks about quenching the spirit, it has everything to do with the people that I am around. It has to do with the brethren that I'm connected with. The atmosphere of those who are on fire for the Lord. If I'm not careful, if I find myself in sin and disconnected from the Lord, not sensitive to his spirit, a brother may be in a position where they're sharing what God's doing with them in their life, and I take that lightly. I don't encourage them. I don't edify them or build them up. And what I can easily do is I can quench that. It's like throwing water on a fire and that fire goes out. You've been there before where you've been excited about something God was doing in your life, something that he may have shown you or something that he revealed to you, somebody you had an encounter with and you couldn't wait to go tell someone. And when you explained it to them, they gave you this abrasive response as if, oh, I've already talked with them. You ain't going to get nowhere with them. And right there, you just killed the spirit or attempted to quench the spirit of somebody around you that may be being used by God. And we don't want to do that. Amen. If I'm going to do church right, I've got to realize that I desire the flame of God to burn fervently, zealously, with passion in the people of God. And I don't want to be the one that stifles them. I don't want to be the one that pulls the reins and close the curtain on them and say, look, you're getting out of your league. You ought to not be thinking or saying those things. We want God to do things in His people that we may not have an answer for. Amen. We want Him to rouse up within them and roar like a mighty lion, that they overcome the voice of the enemy. We don't want to be an enemy or a threat to them. We want them to be excited about what God's doing in life. Even the little bitty things that may be insignificant to you. You know, you've moved on past that, but they may still be in a position that you are far past those things. And if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, I can take that lightly and think, oh, they just going through a phase. They just going through this. They just growing a little bit here and there. And if I don't try to kindle and blow the Spirit upon that flame that's burning, I can quench it and stifle it. So therefore, I need to be wise of who I'm working with. Who I'm dealing with, so that I can do it in harmony with what God's doing. Amen. You got these young boys and these young girls. Who knows exactly where God's going to take them and what God's going to do with them in the near future. And you and I need to be the people who undergird them, support them, and encourage them. When they have a rough day at school or they have a rough day out in the community, and they've been trying to help those other boys and girls they've been walking with, and they've been making bad choices, and they step in to try to help them, and then they try to hinder them and talk down to them, and they come to us, and we take it lightly. Oh, that's just part of the journey with the Lord, rather than commending to them and blessing them and praying with them and praying over them, so that the Spirit of God, they know they got people that are undergird them, that are standing with them, that love them, that are praying for them, and it builds courage in them to continue to do what they're doing. We need to be wise, amen, so that the fruit of God will flow out of our lives, but that we don't stifle the fire of God in those around us. The church ought to be a free place, that we can celebrate the goodness and the glory and the grace of God. That if a man wants to shout, he can shout, amen, and not be afraid to shout. If he wants to stand up and testify, he don't have to worry about what people are going to say about what he testifies. Yes, he may not always say the right things, amen. Have you and I always said the right thing? Has there been times you thought one thing, and as you've grown in grace, you realize what you said and how you acted and what you did was actually not really what God does, but you didn't know that. You were just caught up in what God was doing with you. But nobody beats you up over it. They just encourage you, and in due time, the grace of God manifested that we're really, that's not how God works, and you're grateful that He showed you that. So don't hinder another brother if they don't say everything just right. Amen. Find the good that they tell you, the truth, and then capitalize and run with it. Don't shoot them down always on the negative. And that is, we have to be wise in how we correct people and how we work with them. Just simply being wise, not to quench the Spirit of God in their lives. So we quench the fire and we grieve the fruit. Understanding that. The next thing we see is not only be wise, but we need to be discerning. He says, despise not prophesying. It goes along with that encouraging spirit. Being discerning in the sense that we need to learn how to recognize the voice of God and recognize God at work. And as this passage saying, the word despise means to think lightly of, to disdain prophesying. That is, when Brother Jimmy stood up a minute ago and talked about the coming of the Lord, it can be easy for somebody, if they're not actually in tune with what God is doing, they can take that lightly. Why? Because the Bible tells us in later times, they're going to be that spirit who says, well, the Lord has been saying, you've been saying he's going to come for a long time and he still ain't come. He's been telling, the church has been telling the world that for 2,000 years. Where's his return? And the pastor gets up or another brother testifies that we believe Jesus is coming back for us. That's prophetic. Amen. That's prophecy. Don't take that lightly, because he is coming. He can come tonight. Amen. And any time somebody stands or proclaims, thus saith the Lord, and gives a word from the Lord, that's a prophetic word. And what we want to do is we want to encourage them and discern how God's working, so that we can recognize the power of God working in someone else's life. And when somebody is off base, we're able to help them. We're able to turn them. We're able to pull them aside. I think about Aquila and Priscilla. Y'all recall reading in the book of Acts when Aquila and Priscilla found this guy by the name of Apollos. He was preaching. And Apollos was preaching with great authority and boldness, but he was limited in what he knew. The only thing that Apollos knew was that John the Baptist had been preaching a baptism of repentance. And that's all he got wind of. Now, Jesus had already came. Jesus had already died. The church has already been established. The gospel is being preached. And Apollos is standing with authority preaching John the Baptist and his baptism, who was making a way straight for the coming of the Lord. And what they did, instead of ridiculing him, they pulled him aside, talked with him one-on-one, and shared with him that there is further revelation. There's more to this. Jesus has come. The one that John the Baptist was proclaiming would come has come. He lived. He died. He shed his blood. And the scripture says that Apollos was encouraged and strengthened greatly in the Lord. And he stood up and waxed bold and waxed eloquently. And he preached, and many people came into the kingdom of God as a result of them discerning the Spirit of God, being able to not despise prophecy, but take what somebody gives you and work from there with them. And if the church is going to do right, that's how we need to function. Because I want to tell you, your Sunday school teacher is going to miss it every once in a while. Your preacher is going to miss it every once in a while. You are going to miss it every once in a while. But encourage one another. Be an encourager. Be a discerner of the work of God. When you're out in the community, you're going to be around people who are going to say things. And instead of when they say something that's way off base, because you know how people are, they're going to do it. I hear it all the time. You're going to hear things way off base. Don't beat them up over it. You're not going to be winsome unto them. You're going to miss the main point. And the focus is actually win these people unto Christ, not to beat them up about Christ. And you share with them the truth, and don't argue and debate and all that. Love on them. And it's okay if they mistreat you, or if they think you crazy or you're wrong. That's okay. You don't have to defend yourself. Amen. It's okay. You see, when I'm wise and discerning, that keeps me from being critical. I don't want to be. I'm prone to be critical. I don't know about you. How many of you have a tendency that you could lean toward having a critical spirit? We be honest. I can be critical. Sometimes I'm at a place, if I'm operating in the flesh, I would rather slap somebody than try to help them and talk to them. I'm not the only one I know. You've been there too, and sometimes that happens to all of us, but that's not how Jesus works, is it? And when I feel that way, I've got to discern that that's not Jesus, that's me. That's not prophetic, that's me, that's the natural man, and I'm operating and as a fool and not wise, because I want to be a blessing unto people. That's the main reason what Jesus has redeemed me for, to glorify him, to know him, and to know him more intimately, and to make him known. Not be a defender of me or my opinions or my ways, but to stand on the Word of God and help people see what he's done in you. Amen? They may be able to argue or want to argue over this or that, but one thing they can't argue with is what Jesus done for you and what you stand on in the Word of God. And just love them, even when you're misunderstood by them. I think about Christ. There was nobody more misunderstood than he. Nobody more despised than he. Nobody more unwanted than he. He wasn't recognized. Isaiah 53 helps us see that nothing about him stood out in his physical appearance. He just blended in with everybody. everybody really thought that he was a troublemaker. And the reason he was going through the trouble he was in is because he was smitten of God. That is, God was disciplining him and whooping him because of his arrogance of claiming who he was. So they totally misunderstood what he was doing. But the scripture says that he wouldn't even put out a smoking flax or break a bruised reed. He was gentle with who he was working with. Why? He understood his mission. And his mission was not to fight with people. His mission was to unveil the Father's will. And unveiling the Father's will was that he needed to fulfill his Father's will. That was his life. That was his bread. That's what he survived on. And therefore, he was wise. He was discerning. And the more I grow in grace, I'm growing to be more like Jesus. Amen? That's what God's doing with me. So these things that we find as Paul writes this, he's helping us to recognize, to be that encourager. Be wise and be discerning. And then he says, listen, verse 20, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. That's part of that discerning. Test all things. But notice what he said. Don't go to fighting over what's not true. He just says what? Hold fast to that which is what? Good. Hold fast to that which is good. When I am wise and discerning, I can be confident. And confidence goes a long way in connecting and relating to people. And when you cling to, hold fast, possess what is good, you can walk with confidence. I know when I'm around someone that doesn't have a lot of confidence and they shy away, and they feel intimidated. There's not a lot of, they don't have something that is contagious about them that I desire. I have more of a need where I want to be. I want to help them. But when I come across somebody that is confident in what they know and what they cling to, I believe that person's got something to help me with. And I can listen to them and I can hear. Well, the same thing applies to the people that we minister to. When I cling and hold fast with confidence to that which is good, God uses that to open the door to express to them why I have the hope that I have, why I believe what I believe, why I walk the way that I walk, why do I talk the way that I talk. And people want to give an ear to you because you walk in confidence. The scripture even teaches us that which is not of faith is what? Sin. He who knows to do right and does not do it, what is that? Scripture says that if our conscience condemns us in a thing, and if we do it and we don't do it in faith, that is what? Sin. So when I say confidence, that is saying that I'm wise, I'm hearing from God, I recognize God's work, I'm discerning, but I'm also confident because that which God has unveiled to me to be, which is good, His ways, I cling to it in faith and I can walk with a clear conscience. And I want to tell you, faith is what we are to be about. Help building faith in other people, affirming other people. And when they see us walking by faith, they want to know why. Why can I trust that? Why can I believe that? And just share what God's doing with you. And as we do church right, we'll be confident in what God calls us to do. Now, will I be confident in everything? There are a lot of things of the unknown I don't know. But I can trust the Lord, can't I? I can be confident in Him when I'm not confident in what I'm facing. I can be confident in Him when I don't have an answer to the problem. I can be confident in Him. I can trust Him. I can lean on Him. I can go to Him. He's promised me He's going to direct me. I can be confident in Him when I don't have a solution to the problem. Amen? And we need to be confident in Him. Why? He always follows through. He always finishes what He starts. He always fulfills what He says. And then He says these words. Not just prove all things and hold fast that which is good. But verse 22, He says, abstain from all appearances of evil. That would be that we need to be clean. We just need to be clean. The word abstain just means to restrain oneself from all appearances from evil. If it's if you in doubt, leave it out. Amen. Simply, if you in doubt, leave it out. Abstain from it. Run from it, whatever it may be. Just keep yourself clean so that you can be that vessel that is transparent, that the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, can shine through. If we were in here, if you look up under your pew right now, everybody look under your pew. Do you see a shadow? What's casting that shadow? Well, you got light that provides the opportunity for a shadow, but what is a shadow? It's the God of an obstruction in the way. What's in the way? The pew's in the way. Because the pew is not transparent. You can't see through the pew. The light can't penetrate through the pew. And when I start seeing my shadow, me, upon people, it's because I'm not being transparent and the light of Jesus is not shining through me. And I need to be clean so that Jesus can shine through my life. That he can impact people through me. Transparency, authenticity, genuineness, clean, abstain from all appearances of evil. It may not necessarily be actually evil. It may be something that you have permission to do. But if it has an appearance to evil with somebody around you or somebody you're with or somebody you're attempting to win or be a blessing to, just stay away from it. It's not an essential thing. Amen. The only thing's essential is trusting in the Lord and loving him and loving on his people. There's a lot of things we can get rid of and cast away and walk away from it because it's not essential. It's not priority. We have a lot of things that we get to handle in life and God lets us use and we can enjoy and be part of. But as Paul said, look, if it causes another brother to stumble, it may be lawful for me, but it may not be beneficial. It may not be profitable. So I need to abstain from it if it's a problem. Amen? Why? Because I've got a greater goal. I've got a greater cause. I've got something bigger than that going on. Why? Because I'm a missionary of Jesus. I'm his missionary. You know, there's really only two types of people in the world. I may have shared this with you already. There's only two types of people in the world. Missionaries and those who need a missionary. That's it. So either I'm a missionary for Jesus or I need a missionary of Jesus to help me find or see Jesus. Amen. Now, of missionaries, there's only two types. Those that are effective missionaries and those that are not. And what doing church right is all about is becoming an effective missionary. Everything we've been studying is about putting ourselves in the right position among the brethren, in the body, as we daily function together as a body, so that we can be in a position for God's power upon us to reach a world around us. If I'm not going to do church right, I can't expect God with confidence to use us to have an impact on the world around me. I want to do things right in his eyes so that we can together reach people for his name as his missionaries right here in our own communities and our own land. We just don't send missionaries overseas. That's a mentality that people have. We are missionaries if you've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we need to be effective so that we can reach people and glorify him and look like him so that I can be a disciple maker for him. And you know what a lot of times happens? Can you imagine if you had a man that worked 30 years on a job? Let's say he worked in a factory. He worked 30 years in a factory, but that man could not train somebody to come under him and take his job. That's unfathomable, isn't it? Wouldn't that be unfathomable? I mean, somebody that spent 30 years doing a work, but he couldn't take somebody else that had the capacity and had the ability to show them what he did, that would be an utter shame. Well, it's also an utter shame to us that if I've been in the family of God for a short period of time, to 10 years, to 20 years, or 30 years, and I can't make a disciple for Jesus. Think about it. And the reason that is because we fail to do things right, God's way. In doing things right, we put ourselves in a position to be used by the Lord to be a disciple maker for Him. We're clean, and as a result, what happens? Abstain from all appearances of evil. And verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you who will also do it. We can trust Him. Amen. He's going to work these things out. And the thing about doing church right, number 13, is simply being consistent in what we do. If our God's faithful, in which He is, as James would describe Him, how does James describe Him? There is no variation or shadow of turning with Thee. Amen. He's consistent. He is faithful. And just look around the room. Look around the room. Where's Clint Berry's boys at? Stand up for a minute. Now, can you tell these partners here are brothers? Just look at them. Look. Don't they look alike? You see my brother back there? Y'all can sit down, boys. My brother back there, I've got another brother in between us, and everybody tells us that we look alike. I was in Meridian, Mississippi at a store one day, and somebody was in there. And I walked around the corner, and they looked at me, and they said, Is your name Nicky Holden? I said, it sure is. Your brother Jeremy Holden? I said, you had to be his brother. All the way up there in Mississippi. Ain't never seen him before, but connected with Jeremy. We look alike. You know why we look alike? Because we sad to say, we kind of look like a daddy. And I got a younger brother that looks just like my daddy. Jameson's sitting here. That's my first cousin. He looks like his mama, don't he? Looks like his mama. You see, children usually bear markers or indicators because of the DNA that's in them. They resemble their parents, right? They look like their parents. Sometimes they look like the mama. Sometimes they look like the daddy. Sometimes they look like a combination of both. They look like each other. Like your little girl. I heard you call her Ladia. I call my Ladia Ladia. She looks like a daddy, don't she? She bears DNA. Well, if that be the case with us, think about it for a moment. Our God, who comes and lives within us, who transforms us and makes us a new creature in Christ, who births us, the scripture says, by the word of God, same passage in James. Turn to James chapter 1. Let's just look at it. We're not too far from it. I know y'all smelling chicken and everything else, but it ain't far. We ain't got to go far, amen? It's right around the corner. And I don't hear nobody in there eating it right now. It wasn't long ago we had an eating meeting at our church, and I brought out a plate. And I preached, and Brother Jimmy, I had a table set up in there, and I ate lunch while I preached to everybody. We didn't have an eating meeting. I brought food from the house, that's right, so they couldn't go back there and eat it. I preached, and I ate. Boy, I had some steak. I had some deer steak, and we had cabbage. You know how good that cabbage smelled. How many of y'all like cabbage? You know, and I ate on that food. I tried to share it with them and had me a good old glass of sweet tea in there with it, too. And I ate that meal, cutting that steak and eating that the whole time I shared the Word of God with them and preached. And I said, that's a shame, man. And here the preacher is, y'all hungry. You can tell they were hungry, too. You know how it is, come about 11:30 in a church service, you're hungry and you're ready to eat. Well, sure enough, I illustrated the point. I said, that's how it is with us. If we feed on the Word of God day in, day out, week in, week out, and we go out in the world and we never share it or offer it to other people, that's just as ridiculous as the preacher sitting here eating a meal while he's preaching in front of y'all. Amen? We gotta give it away. That's what he gives it to us. Look at James, what he says. Verse 24. verse 17, chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of what? First fruits of his creatures. That is, that there should be indicators or markers in our life that bears the witness of him which is faithful, consistent. The idea there is no variableness, no shadow of a turning. That is, God is unchanging. He's consistent. He's faithful always. He does what he says he's going to do. He is who he says he is. And he will not ever change. Well, being that we are first fruits of his creatures as well, there should be, as I grow in grace, I should become more consistent and more faithful because I bear the DNA of my Heavenly Father within me. Amen? I look more like him as I grow in him in everyday life. Now, when those things happen and we in that position, what happens with us is that we are now in a place, we're getting to that place where we're in position for God to use us to really have an impact on a lost community and people around us. And I'm thankful that I may not be able to do all these things as well as I should, but when my heart desires to walk with the Lord and do things right, and I am moving in that place with him, God's going to begin to use me not only to bless the brethren, not only to glorify his name, but he's going to start using me to have an impact on the people that he places in my life for his glory. And I'm not going to get caught up in what people are doing. I'm going to stick to the focus and the main thing. One, he's changing me, and he's going to use me to have an influence on other people. And I'll give him the glory for it. Amen? Turn to Psalm 24 before we go. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, actually Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Look what he says in verse number, well, let's just start in verse number 1. This ought to be our heart tonight. This is what we ought to be crying out for, so that we can do these things right that God wants us to do. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and let not mine enemies triumph over me. Remember what we talked about last night? We're going to praise him. When we praise him, he silences the enemy. Amen? Let's praise him. Verse 3, yea, let not none that wait on thee be ashamed, and let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. That's a good place. Now watch what he says here. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever old. Now watch here. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. You know what I believe he's telling or asking the Lord to do is he's simply saying, remember not to do, but remember the who. Not what I've done, but who you are, O God. Remember who you are, what you do. Don't get caught up in what I've done. Get caught up in the fact that you desire to lead me and teach me and show me and guide me and use me. And you know what happens when we get caught up with the Lord in such a way? We do the same thing. That I don't get caught up in what my children do as much as I get caught up in who I am, the one who's been assigned to lead them. I don't get caught up in what my church members are not doing, but I get caught up in who I am and what God's called me to do and be an example in leading them. I don't get caught up with what my coworkers are doing on the job and how they act a fool and how they mistreat me. I get caught up in who I am and that God's planted me there as a missionary, as a light, and I've got a responsibility to represent Him and not let them dictate what I do next. I get caught up in what God's doing. Amen? And I want to tell you, when we set out to do church right, and we do it God's way, and we trust that He is faithful, and we're asking Him to teach us, there are going to be people that don't want to join on board with it. That's okay. Don't get caught up in what they do or don't do. Get caught up in who you are before the Lord and how God wants to use you to lead them, not them mislead you. Amen? And God will bless you and Richardson Baptist Church in a mighty and awesome way. Always remember, if you're the daddy, you're the daddy. You take the lead. You lead. If you're the mama, take the lead. Lead those children. Don't get caught up in their rebellion or their dishonor of you, and it just frustrates you, or all you want to do is knock them in the head and move on with it. No, you lead them. Amen. They will follow. You just take the lead. They will follow. And the same thing among your church members. Just lead. Take the lead in loving on one another. They don't have to love you for you to love them. Amen. They don't have to forgive you for you to forgive them. They don't have to be kind to you for you to be kind to them. Just take the lead in it. And I want to tell you, God will bless you and enrich you and humble you and use you like you've never been used before when you take the lead and not let other people pull you back, hinder you, or harm you in doing what is right. It's the right thing to do. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me?